Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Hubble Happy Hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Dallas to Daytona, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? We got a good show coming up for you. Three-time Super Bowl champion, affectionately known as Stink, Mark Schlereth is going to join us. He's going to drop on by the show in about 35 minutes from now. So keep it locked right here for Mr. Stink Schlereth. That should be a lot of fun. Also, it's a Trash Tuesday, so next hour we will be taking out the trash. Those who need to be trashed, who you're frustrated by, things, places, people, we vent here on the show. We'll do that next hour on the program. Also, Cam Newton questions abound. What's wrong with the figgy one? We'll get to that coming up 1 hour from now. And coming up in about 15 minutes, LeBron speaks about Kyrie on Media Day. So a lot to get to this morning here on the program. As always, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. And a little reminder, you can always check us out by watching the show. Go to watchda.com. How about that? That's a multimedia experience. Don't just listen. Watch us at watchda.com. That's also mobile friendly. Let's begin with the game last night and then transition into what happened before the game afterwards. Last night, Dak Prescott of the Cowboys beat the Cardinals 28-17. There had been question marks coming into this game about Dak Prescott's ability to not just be a game manager with a great offensive line and an elite running back, that he silenced those doubts last night. It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
Here's the handoff that goes to Elliott. Gets a block from the right tackle. The 5. He runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott. 8-yard touchdown run, and they build upon their lead with 4:57 to go.
Throughout that ball game, things didn't come easily to us, and he just kept battling. He kept making good decisions. Obviously, he made some great plays out of the pocket. He made some big-time throws, but as much as anything else, he's got an amazing spirit.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, and then Jason Garrett discussing Dak Prescott after the game. Now, Dak only threw 18 passes, 183 yards, a pair of touchdowns, but also had that rushing touchdown where he flipped over the goal line. And I understand that there are Cowboys fans that are wondering, is Dak really that good, or is he just protected because he doesn't have to do too much? We've got a great offensive line and a great running back. And that's the reason that we went 13-3 last year. In my estimation, Cowboys fans should put the doubt about Dak away. This is a guy who's still super young. This is a young man that's only starting his second season. This was a young man that could have probably never predicted he was going to be starting for the Dallas Cowboys week one of last year, considering where he had come from. Starting quarterback in Mississippi State, had the DUI just before the NFL draft. That made his stock plummet. He had to go through all of that legally, comes to the Cowboys, and then suddenly Dak is thrust into the starting role, and the Cowboys take off. I think if you are doubting Dak Prescott, you're not doing him any favors, because maturity-wise, he's always handled everything really well. He made enough plays last year to win those games, and there's a big, big value in not screwing things up. And I don't think that gets enough attention. Dak doesn't screw things up. Now you say, well, DA, that's the definition of a game manager. Yes and no. Because if you need Dak to make a play, like on that read option, going around right side, diving over the pylon, diving over the goal line, head over heels, he's got the athleticism to do that. On the run, he's still got the arm to get it downfield. I think when you have the putrid bum quarterbacks that we see on a weekly basis in the NFL, you should absolutely appreciate what Dak Prescott does. And last night, if you're the Cowboys, you should take that every day of the week. If your defense is going to hold the opponent to under 20 points, you can pound the rock, control the offensive line, get a couple of big plays. Dez Bryant fighting through a million tacklers to the goal line was a thing of beauty. I think if you're the Cowboys and Cowboys fans, hey, believe in Dak. He deserved that much. I like him. I like him a lot. And I think he's going to only get better. Remember, he's only three games in the season, too. Cowboys get the win 28-17 last night. 855-212-4CBS. As for the Cardinals, I mean, boy, does it feel like their window is closed. 2 years ago, they end up going to the NFC Championship game. That was the game in which Carson Palmer threw a billion interception in Carolina. But coming into last year, it felt like the Cardinals may have been the best team in the NFC. They brought everybody back after going to the NFC title game, and they added Chandler Jones. And David Johnson would only get better. Well, they really were terrible last year. They were very, very mediocre. They really crashed and burned. And so coming into this season, it's kind of been a, all right, were the Cardinals of 2015 the real Cardinals, or the Cardinals of 2016 another year the real Cardinals? And after the first 3 weeks, these Cardinals do not look like anything resembling an NFC Championship game team. Nothing. Carson Palmer is so brutally mediocre. The guy has one or two good drives and then suddenly gets scattershot immediately. Happy feet, looking all over the place, outwardly frustrated. He is so painfully mediocre that the Arizona Cardinals, once again, are not going to be a deep playoff team. And it really just feels like, because David Johnson went down, they are nowhere near contender status. And that just goes to show you how tenuous their grasp on really being a great team was. When your running back goes down and he's gone until probably Christmas, and you kind of look like that. If I'm a Cardinals fan, I would be upset, because it felt like the window was a couple of years there after what happened in 2015, and now it feels like without that next quarterback, the Cardinals are just treading water. As for what happened before the game, the Dallas Cowboys locking arms, taking a knee before the anthem, and then everybody standing for the national anthem. I appreciated that. I respect that quite a deal, quite a bit, because it's a compromise. And what lacks in our country today is compromise. We do not see somebody we should work with across the aisle. We do not see somebody we can give something to and they give back and we find a middle ground. We see an enemy. We have been brainwashed by our elected officials and by the cable news to believe. If you don't believe what I stand for, we have nothing in common. And last night, the Dallas Cowboys found compromise. The players that wanted to make a statement in the wake of the president's comments last Friday wanted to do something. Meantime, the Cowboys as an organization wanted to remain unified and not disrespect the national anthem in what they thought would be disrespect with a kneeling during it. That's a great compromise. And I can't believe I'm saying this about Jerry Jones, but I give him credit. And I say I can't believe I'm saying this about Jerry Jones is because I've taken my shots at Jerry. I think he sounds like a buffoon sometimes. I think he's a total fanboy about his team sometimes. I think the way that he overly defends bad behavior like Ezekiel Elliott's is embarrassing. However, I didn't think Jerry Jones would compromise on this. I thought he was so staunch in you do not disrespect the flag. You do not sit for the national anthem or kneel. We will not compromise. I thought he was so steadfast that there would never be any cowboy, he would intimidate any cowboy to not step out of line. And last night they found a compromise. I give Jones credit. I give the Cowboys credit because that's what this needs to be about. I see you. You see me. Let's find middle ground here. Now, what did this take? This is what's hysterical. Jerry Jones is not a guy that oftentimes backs down from his position, but a guy that was absolutely anti-kneeling for the national anthem found it in his heart to figure out a way to kneel before the national anthem locked with the players. Why? Because somebody came after his business. You know, you can attack anybody you want. You can say whatever you want about anybody else, but do not come after my business. I am a businessman. I'm a very good businessman. I have built this business, and you will not tell me how to run my business, and you will not question my business. So, you know what? Yeah, now I'm kneeling. That's what it takes for Jerry Jones to compromise. Whoa. You're telling me how to run my business? Oh, no. I tell me how to run my business. But on a serious note, I respected what they did because they found common ground. We do not do that enough. So a good symbol for where we are at in the country for the Dallas Cowboys to find middle ground amongst their organization. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and the rest of the NBA handling their media day duties yesterday on the eve of the season. And LeBron spoke about, you got any idea why Kyrie wanted out so badly? We'll hear from LeBron coming up next. Talk about that. Jump into your phone calls. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You are a giant pile of trash.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm getting more and more uncomfortable with us using that as a drop because it makes Will Brinson sound like he's talking about me, and he was not.
A giant pile of trash.
You're a giant pile of trash on a Trash Tuesday. This winter, one out of every four batteries will fail. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Joe is in Youngstown, Ohio, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1240 there. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. What's going on?
Good. Hey, listen, I'm just calling in about the issues, you know, about the national anthem and this and that. Let me say this. I'm an American, a veteran, okay? And I myself get a little offended at what's going on, okay? But let me also say this. I know the issue that's being protested, and it needs to be protested because it's an issue that needs to be solved in America, okay? But we're going about it the wrong way, okay? We're using two iconic symbols of this country as a platform for this protest. Now, my thing is the national anthem and our flag have nothing to do with the killing of unarmed black men by police. Okay.
So let me just ask you this. What did you think about the Dallas Cowboys yesterday taking a knee before the national anthem?
Again, okay, I don't agree with taking a knee because you know, I know a lot of people don't think it's disrespecting the flag and the national anthem, but a lot of people.
But this happened before the national anthem, so you still don't agree with that?
No, I don't. But here's my thing about this. Okay, like I said, the flag and the national anthem have never insulted anybody or killed anybody. So don't use it as your platform. Okay, here's what needs to happen, and I think this is a good, this is a good solution. You got two teams coming together, right? They're combatants. They're getting ready to beat each other up because they want to win a football game. Okay, that's why we watch it. Okay, before the game, two teams come together in the middle of the field, form a circle, okay, hold hands, lock arms, put your arms around each other, whatever you want to do, okay, and let that, and let everybody
know. So another
know.
Type of gesture. Okay, I hear what you're yeah. saying. Let me ask you this, Joe, and now, is it Joe or Joel? It's Joe,
Joe.
Right? Okay, so Joe, let me ask you this. When it comes to respecting the national anthem, do you find it uncomfortable that we do not broadcast the national anthem, that we have a television networks that simply would rather make money during that instead of actually televising it?
Well, you know, yeah, it kind of does, but you know what?
So that's the thing about the sanctity of the national anthem that I kind of don't understand. I understand how you view it, certainly as a veteran, as a representation of what's all that's great with America. And I tend to feel the same way, but I wonder why we get so our panties in a bunch when we don't even care if it's televised. And how many times do you stand up for the national anthem when it is televised during the Super Bowl? That's the one year we get it. So you always stand up, but I'm sure at your parties you've been to, not everybody stands up for the national anthem. A lot of people sit on the couch with a beer in their hand. And certainly at games, like if you have a beer in your hand at the game during the national anthem and take a sip out of it, nobody goes, "Oh my God, you're unpatriotic." If you're in the bathroom during it, nobody says you're unpatriotic. But somehow we have made kneeling during it totally different. And that seems a little weird to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying. But, like everybody, these guys are very influential. And people are going to pay to watch these games. All I'm suggesting is, when Colin Kaepernick decided to kneel for the national anthem in protest of the killing of unarmed black men by police. Okay, listen, when you're protesting something, your whole purpose is to get that issue out in the limelight, get people talking.
Sure,
about
to get it attention, your, and this was a good issue. Way to get attention. Right, I hear
right.
you. Yep.
Okay, but at the minute when he did that on his own, he missed the mark right there because he had so. I mean, he could have talked to so many of those guys in the NFL. And they could all come together, black, white, Hispanic, whoever.
I hear you, but let me ask you this also, because Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid that started this, and basically every player that has kneeled during the national anthem has consistently said this is not anti-military. It's not anti-military. So,
but it is.
Well, what happens if they keep saying that and they say this? That's not what this is about. Do we not believe them?
No. Here, my point is there's a better way to go about your protesting.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But, I mean, kind of to your point, Joe, there might not be a better way because they got all of this attention for it. If you're looking to grab attention, yeah, you could do a lot of radio interviews. Yes, you could stand behind a podium. However, if you really wanted to get the most attention, look at what this did. I mean, this created such a cultural storm that the president commented on it a year later. I mean, this is now more than a year. So in some ways, it was the most effective way to protest, to at least get it out there. But that's my only thing about the national anthem and the flag. I totally understand people that really respect the national anthem and the flag and its symbology. Totally. But I think that we kind of are a little hypocritical because, you know, flag code doesn't say that you can't kneel during the national anthem, but it does say you can't wear the flag. And yet I can go to Old Navy and buy a flag tank top every single day of the week. I mean, my favorite picture to send around is Brandon Whedon in Stars and Bars tank top and a visor and jogger shorts looking like a bozo. So that's actually against flag code, but we don't get kind of bent out of shape about that. During the national anthem, when I go to a football game, how many guys are in the bathroom? How many guys are at the booth buying beers? Now, they might pause. They might not. How many are looking at their phone? When I'm at a Super Bowl party, people don't stand for the national anthem. And on every Sunday, we don't televise it. So it just, it's, to me, there's a hypocrisy here about getting this bent out of shape about how we handle the anthem. But we don't do the same thing ourselves as individuals. Yeah, when you go to a game, I always stand. I always pause wherever I am. Hopefully I'm in my seat. But I see people milling about all the time, buying beer, doing this, looking at their phone, you know, talking to one another. So let's hold ourselves to the same standard. All right, let's get to LeBron James, who yesterday was asked during Cavaliers Media Day about Kyrie Irving now being a member of the Boston Celtics.
The only thing I'm upset about is that he took a lot of the DNA and the blueprints now to Boston. That's the only thing I'm upset about, really. Other than that, I mean, I wish the kid great health. The kid wanted to do what was best for his, for his career. I give credit to, you know, our GM, you know, Kobe, and our to the ownership for granting that for him.
I think that obviously this is still very uncomfortable for LeBron, and Kyrie didn't want to give away any state secrets yesterday in why he left. LeBron says he doesn't really know why Kyrie wanted to leave, and this is a drum I'm going to continue to bang. How do we not know why Kyrie wanted to leave? You can say, well, you know, Kyrie just wanted to spread his own wings. All right. But why has he seemingly taken pot shots at LeBron along the way? Why, when Steph is mocking LeBron, is Kyrie there egging him on? Why did Kyrie stop talking to his teammates during the playoffs? What happened? Remember when LeBron James had a terrible postseason? I believe it was 2010. And they lost the second round, I believe, to the Boston Celtics. And this was when he was on the Cavaliers, 2009, perhaps. And that was the Delonte West LeBron's mom situation. And it was like, oh, something's wrong there. And it was so obvious that we started to believe perhaps his mom had had a relationship with one of his teammates. We got that information, but we don't know why suddenly Kyrie Irving, the second most important player in that organization, went from defending LeBron, talking about how much he learned from LeBron, talking about how important it is to play with LeBron and one of the greats of all time, to openly mocking and ridiculing him and needing out right away. What happened? What happened? What could have gone that bad that quickly and to the point where nobody's going to talk about it? Like LeBron's saying, I don't know. Kyrie won't answer my text. He said I reached out to him, but Kyrie has not reached back out to me. So Kyrie demanded a trade, got it, left, mocked LeBron before he left, wouldn't talk to his teammates, and won't respond to tell LeBron what's going on. And we're just supposed to be like, well, I guess he wanted to spread his wings and be the man. It doesn't add up. Brian Windhorst basically sleeps under LeBron's bunk bed every day. Dave McManaman is employed solely to report on the Cavaliers. There's an entire industry built around the media about the story of LeBron James every day. What's he tweeting? What's he not tweeting? What's he talking about? What isn't he talking about? How does he fit in with teammates? How's his relationship with this guy? How's his relationship with his GM? How's his relationship with his head coach? Is he going to leave? Is he not going to leave? And we don't know why the second most important player on the team that LeBron said I was ready to give him the keys of the car suddenly hates LeBron and won't talk about it? That seems insane to me. When we come back here on the show, Mark Schlereth is going to join us, three-time Super Bowl champion, to talk about last night's Cowboys win and much more around the NFL. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The glitch in the simulation.
Everybody was in an uproar. Maybe these guys thinking, hey, I'm 25 years old. Sorry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't be sorry. Just get a glass of water.
You're choking on your show right now. Let's do choking.
Happy Tuesday to you boys and girls. Coming up, it's a trash Tuesday. It's a Trash Tuesday. Next hour, we'll do the trashings. It's trashing season, as always, here on the program. You can always watch the show as well. WatchDA.com. And sparkling high-definition Technicolor that's also mobile-friendly. WatchDA.com.
A giant pile of trash.
You know, get lost, Will Brinson. Honestly. Taking you outside. You're getting trash coming up here next hour. I thought that Dak Prescott performed very well last night. He's not asked to do what Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady does. But what Dak Prescott does is win a lot of football games. And that's really all that I care about. Now, will there come a time where the ground game is grounded and he might have to take on shoulder more of the load on the aerial attack? Sure. And at times last year, I think he did that. But how am I going to dog out a quarterback that is now 15-4 as a starter? Can't. I don't get the people that still don't believe in Dak. Again, is it Aaron Rodgers type of aerial assault? No. But if you're winning football games and you're doing enough to get by, and I think he's more than a game manager. I think he's a really athletic, really heady QB. I got no problem. I got no quarrel with Dak Prescott right now. None whatsoever. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. You can always hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. Coming up here later on in the show, we'll have to discuss what is going on with Cam Newton. In about 19 minutes, we have to delve into how the former MVP is this mediocre right now. Our next guest is a three-time Super Bowl champion, played in front of one of the great quarterbacks of all time in John Elway. You see him on FS1, and he's all about tailgating and home-gating because, as we all know, nothing goes better with football than food, drinks, and copious amounts of both. Mark Schlereth joins us this morning here on the show. Stink, how you doing?
Damon, I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, brother. Thanks so much, as always. You know, it's great to have football back, but it's also great to have excuses to eat a lot on Sundays, isn't it?
Yeah, football is just an excuse to get together and eat.
Yep.
That's how I use it. We did it on Sunday, and you know, I'm here to talk a little bit about the home gating aspect of football. And I'll start off with great food made from a crock pot. One of my favorite tools in the kitchen, stress-free gourmet meals, whether it's appetizers, entrees, desserts. In front of me right now, you can't see it, but let me just tell you, I've got the greatest pulled pork recipe from crockpot.com. Less time in the kitchen, more time with family and friends. Easy locking lid on the crock pot, cook and carry, so you can make it at your house, take it over to your friend's house, less mess. Crockpot.com for more information. Everybody has to have a great dip. Hell of a Good is the best dip. Rich, creamy flavors like bacon, horseradish, buttermilk, ranch. I'm telling you what, you can jazz up any of your old favorites like potato skins in the dairy aisle of your local grocer. Hellofagood.com for more information. How about Snack Factory pretzel crisps? I tell you what, they're perfect. They're just a perfect complement for dipping. You can use them as spread. They're versatile. You're going to absolutely love them. No artificial colors or preservatives. PretzelCrisps.com for more information in the deli aisle of your local grocery. And if you don't like to cook, I've got that covered too. Red Robin's Gourmet Burger Bar, they have your back. 10 or more fire-grilled, made-to-order burgers. Comes with a variety of gourmet toppings, onion straws, guacamole, grilled pineapple. Hassle-free burger bar allows you to create a customized burger for anybody in your party. RedRobin.com for more information. There is the tailgating portion, or the homegating portion, as it is, of the radio show today for all of you that that are into eating and watching football, as I am.
That was so impressive. As an offensive lineman, you need to digest lots of information and memorize a lot of information in very small synapses of time. And you just did that with amazing, amazing dexterity. Congratulations.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Last night, Monday Night Football, Dak Prescott gets the win, but there are some doubters in Dallas that he's nothing more than a game manager. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
No, I don't think it's a fair criticism at all, and I would say, what's wrong with being a game manager?
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for. Dak Prescott, he has one of the most impressive careers going from the start to finish, 13-3 last year, and you know, people say, well, he's a game manager. Well, I remember a playoff game that he stood toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, and they about beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And he was exceptional. As a matter of fact, he was probably arguably better than Aaron Rodgers in that game. So, you know, he's done what he's had to do. He's looked one time in his career in, 16 starts last year and 3 starts this year, one time in his career where he looked overwhelmed, and that was in Denver against the Denver Broncos with crowd noise and the defense that they have. So, listen, you can say whatever you want. I guarantee you, get rid of him. And there's 25 teams lined up to take him. He has been impressive. He's got an old soul about him. He throws with accuracy. He's a dual threat guy. I like his pocket presence, man. I think the kid is a legit NFL starting quarterback and more than a game manager.
I do too. And I'm glad that you said, you know, what's wrong with being a game manager? Now, you played with the greatest or one of the greatest quarterbacks ever in John Elway, but you were also playing alongside other guys that didn't have that type of natural talent. Who was the best game manager you played with?
Well, I mean, I think managing a game is just an important part of football. And whether it was, you know, I played with Doug Williams. I played with Mark Rippon in Washington. John Fries, and I played with a lot of different guys. John Elway, and you know, John Elway was one of those guys that understood. I mean, his big thing was, you know, you guys are paid for first and second down. I'm paid to convert on third down. That's what I get paid for. And he was great. He understood game managing. And you talk about a game manager, John Elway. He could throw it, he could lead you to victory throwing the ball, but when he needed to take off and run, he always did. He always got us yardage, and he never slid feet first. He always slid head first because he was like, I want to get that extra yard or two. So, I mean, I would call that game manager, and obviously, anytime that guy walked in the huddle, regardless of what the situation is, you felt like you had a chance to win.
Mark Schlereth, our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. So let me ask you about the Denver Broncos, because that guy, John Elway, has Trevor Siemian under center, and Siemian was a seventh-round draft pick, but at times has looked very, very good. Now, on Sunday, he did not. Do you think the Broncos can make a deep playoff run, can be a contender in January with Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Trevor Siemian is smart. He can spin the ball. He's got, he throws it with accuracy and timing. Now, last week notwithstanding, he made some really boneheaded plays. But nobody in Oakland is questioning whether Derek Carr is a future franchise quarterback as a second rounder. And he played worse in Washington last week than Trevor Siemian did in Buffalo. The bottom line to me, with a quarterback like Trevor Siemian, who is still a young quarterback, he just had his, 17th start of his career last weekend, he's a young guy. There's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some things that don't go your way. But you got away from the formula that creates an opportunity to win. You had the second leading rusher in football after the first 2 weeks in C.J. Anderson. He got 8 carries in the game in Buffalo and averaged almost 5 yards a carry. So you get away from what has gotten you to that point, you're in trouble. And even in these games where you're down by a field goal or 6 points, it's not time to abandon the formula. And I thought the coaching staff did that in Buffalo last week. And I thought as much as bad as Trevor played, and he didn't play well, I thought the coaching staff didn't help him very much either.
That's interesting. Cam Newton had one of his worst days ever, and he comes off his MVP year in 2015 with a mediocre season last year as well, although there were injuries involved there. Why do you think that Cam Newton's been struggling since he went to the Super Bowl?
I think it's because you're asking Cam Newton to play more of a traditional quarterbacking role and more of a pocket passing type of role. And that has not been where he's been successful. He's been below average from a completion percentage standpoint from the pocket. He's got a big arm. He can spin it, but he misses too many receivers, wide open receivers. He lacks some timing and some accuracy from that standpoint. When he had his MVP season, there was probably about, on average, 8 designed runs a game for Cam Newton. On top of that, there was another 4 or 5 scrambles that you had to account for. So 12 to 13 rushing plays per game on average for Cam Newton. And what ended up happening is that's an unsustainable form of offense. In the NFL, I don't care if you're 6'5", 255, you can't sustain that style of offense without being injured, without putting yourself into harm's way. So they have pared that back. They have tried to create an offense where he's more of a pocket passer, and that's not his forte, and he's still learning that aspect of the game. So to me, it really has to do with what his skill set is, and it hasn't been a traditional drop-back quarterback. And he's trying to learn that aspect of the game.
Mark Schlereth joins us here on the show. So final point on home gating, what kind of pork am I buying to make this pulled pork stuff in my crock pot? Because I love this idea, and I love the crock pot.
Oh, my! You know what? Just a pork tenderloin, man. Throw it in there, let it baste all day, and it's just to die for.
That sounds so great. So great. You can follow Mark Schlereth on Twitter, at Mark Schlereth, and keep an eye out for his tailgating and home gating party tips. It's always good to catch up, Stink. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Mark Schlereth joining us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm reminded of one of Mraz's great drops of all time. Get yourself a pork shoulder! And Mraz, how does it feel to hear a man after your own blood talk about getting a pork tenderloin thrown into that crock pot and making what he considers his football food of the week?
It just justifies all the work I've put into the up the gut for the last 5 years, because I have, and you have as well, preached the use of the crock pot in all shapes, ways, and you heard him with desserts, foods, and to put the pork in there. I would say get yourself a pork shoulder. Get yourself a pork shoulder. He says get yourself a pork tenderloin. Either way it works, and that is delicious, good eating right there.
Pork
shoulder, starving here now.
Why do you love the pork shoulder so much?
I find the meat to shred off the shoulder a little more gently, and I think a little more juicy as well, as opposed to pork shedding off the tenderloin, if you will, if a tenderloin can shed.
Well, with the pork shoulder, the bone is still involved.
Yeah, so you get the juices that come off. I guess they would call that the marrow, if you will.
I think the marrow is inside the bone.
Regardless, it's in there when it heats, and the way the meat falls, and you can slice it off the bone if it's been in that crock pot all
day. You like it on the bone. A tenderloin's got no bone in it, right?
Right, the bone has been displaced. I prefer a bone. Schlereth prefers no bone. Me bone, Schlereth no bone. That's the way we like our pork, but that's okay, because in the end, we both get to enjoy barbecue sauce, whether there's bone involved or no bone involved.
Gotta have thick meat.
The bone has been displaced.
The bone has been displaced. I would also throw in a King's Hawaiian roll there as well. I think that would spice up the pulled pork as well.
Love that idea.
Get yourself a pork shoulder.
Love that idea.
Oh,
God. All so good. Hey, you know what? We got some time here. Can we cue up the laugh montage? Because the fact that Mraz is talking to me about displacing a bone with a crock pot and a tenderloin makes me feel like it's going to be a good morning.
Let me try again.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
check out.
God.
That'll be in the laugh montage.
Awesome.
Oh, after this past week, and I think we all needed the laugh montage, and Mraz's asbestos-filled, disgusting lung cough. When we come back, let's jump on what Schlereth was talking about with Cam Newton. What has happened with Cam over the last season? Plus, will he ever get back to MVP status? DA, it's a Trash Tuesday. This is CBS Sports Radio.
God. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.